Very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Now we are at the 6:40 program. We're supposed to have our evening chanting. Then after that, I'm supposed to share with you all the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, means the English translation. Then we will do the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta so that you understand. Okay. Page 14, evening chanting. Let us chant together. To the Blessed One, the Lord who fully attained perfect enlightenment, to the teaching which He expounded so well, and to the Blessed One's disciple who have practiced well, to these, the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha, we render with offerings our rightful homage. It is well for us that the Blessed One, having attained liberation, still have compassion for little generation. May these simple offerings be accepted for our long-lasting benefit and for the happiness it gives us. The Lord, the perfectly enlightened and blessed one, I render homage to the Buddha, the blessed one. The teaching so completely explained by him, I bow to the Dhamma, the Blessed One's disciple who have practiced well. I bow to the Sangha. Now let us pay preliminary homage to the Buddha, homage to him, the Blessed One, the Worthy One, the Fully Enlightened One. Homage to thee, the Blessed One, the Worthy One, the Fully Enlightened One. Homage to him, the Blessed One, the Worthy One, the Fully Enlightened One. Now let us chant the recollection of the Buddha, a good word of the Blessed One's reputation, has spread as follows. Such indeed is the Blessed One, the Worthy One, the perfectly enlightened one, endowed with wisdom and virtue, the accomplished one, the knower of the world, the incomparable master or guide of those to be trained, teachers of gods and men, the enlightened one, the blessed one. Now let us chant the supreme praise to the Buddha, the Buddha, the truly worthy one, endowed with such excellent qualities, whose being is of purity, transcendental wisdom and compassion, who are enlightened the wise like the sun awakening the lotus. I bow my head to the peaceful chief of conquerors, the Buddha, who is the safe, secure refuge of all beings. As the first object of recollection, I venerate him with bowed head. I am indeed the Buddha's servant. The Buddha is my Lord and God. The Buddha is sorrow destroyer who bestows blessings for me. To the Buddha, I dedicate his body and life, and in devotion, I will walk the Buddha's path of awakening. For me, there is no other refuge. The Buddha is my excellent refuge. By the utterance of this truth, may I go in the Buddha's way, and with my devotion to the Buddha and the blessings of this breath, by his power, may all obstacles be overcome. my body, speech, or mind, for whatever wrong reason I have committed towards the Buddha, may my acknowledgement of fault be accepted, that in the future there may be restraint regarding the Buddha. Now let us chant in praise of the Dhamma. Well expounded is the Dhamma of the Blessed One, can be realized in the here and the now, beyond time, beyond thought, inviting investigation, onward leading to the heart, Nirvana, can be understood by the wise, each for themselves. Now let us chant the supreme praise of the Dhamma. It is excellent because it is well expounded, and it can be divided into path and food, practice and liberation. The Dhamma holds those who uphold it from falling into delusion. I revel the excellent teaching that which removes darkness. The Dhamma, which is the supreme secure refuge of all beings, as the second object of recollection, I venerate it without a name. I am indeed the Dhamma's servant. The Dhamma is my Lord and God. The Dhamma is sorrow destroyer, and it bestows blessings on me. To the Dhamma, I dedicate this body and life, and in devotion, I will walk this excellent way of truth. For me, there is no other refuge. The Dhamma is my excellent refuge. By the utterance of this truth, may I go in the Dhamma way. By my devotion to the Dhamma and the blessings of this practice, by its power, may all obstacles be overcome. By body, speech, or mind, for whatever wrong action I have committed towards the Dhamma, may my acknowledgement of fault be accepted, that in future there may be restraint regarding the Dhamma. Now let us chant the recollection of the Sangha. Of good conduct is the order of the disciple of the Blessed One. Of upright conduct is the order of the disciple of the Blessed One. Of wise conduct is the order of the disciple of the Blessed One. Of dutiful conduct is the order of the disciple of the Blessed One. This order of the Blessed One's disciple, namely, the four pairs of persons, the eight types of individuals, is worthy of offering, is worthy of hospitality, is worthy of peace, is worthy of religious salutation, is an incomparable field of merits to the world. Now let us chant the supreme praise of the Sangha, born of the Dhamma, that Sangha which has practiced well. The view of the Sangha, form of eight kinds of noble beings, guided in body and mind by excellent morality and virtue. I reverence the assembly of noble beings, perfected in purity. The Sangha, which is the supreme secure refuge of all beings, as the third object of recollection, I venerate it without the faith. I am indeed the Sangha's servant. The Sangha is my Lord and God. The Sangha is sorrow destroyer, and it bestows blessing on me. To the Sangha, I dedicate his body and life, and in devotion, I will walk the well-practiced way of the Sangha. For me, there is no other refuge. The Sangha is my excellent refuge. By the utterance of this truth, may I grow in the Master's way. by their devotion to the Sangha and the blessings of His practice, by His power, may all obstacles be overcome by body, speech, or mind, or whatever wrong action I committed towards the Sangha. May my knowledge burn off by me be accepted, that in the future there may be the strength of the Sangha. Okay, we shall chant the closing salutation. Arahan sama sambutto bhagavan buddha dattavantam abhivadene. Suatato bhagavanto dhammo dhammam namassami. Supatipanno bhagavanto sangha sambho sanghaṃ dhammāni. Okay, you can be seated. Turn to page 35. We'll do the discussion or reflection on this Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. We will go through the English translation, so that you understand what is this Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, which is the first sermon proclaimed by the Buddha after his enlightenment, when he first met the five ascetic. This five ascetic have been together with him meditate for a long period, over 6 years. Then finally, when he became enlightened, he went back to proclaim this noble truth to them, because he realized they can understand his teaching. Okay, so you read the introduction. This is the first teaching of the Tathagata on attaining the excellent perfect enlightenment. Here is a perfect turning of the incomparable wheel of truth, inestimable, wherever it is expounded in the world. Disclosed here are the two extremes and the middle way. With the Four Noble Truths and the purified knowledge and vision pointed out by the Lord of Dhamma. So then after that we go to the Dhammacakkappavattana proper. We don't have to chant. The sutta starts by the turning of the wheel of the Dhamma. Thus have I heard once the Blessed One was sojourning near Benares at Isipatana in the Deer Park. Then the Blessed One addressed the company of the five bhikkhus. He said, "Bhikkhus, these are the two extremes that you should not follow by one who has gone forth from the home to the homeless." So what are the two extremes? The first one is sensual indulgence, the giving up of the pleasure of senses or sensual indulgence, which is low, vulgar, worldly, unworthy, and harmful, and the giving up of the other extreme, self-mortification, which is painful, unworthy, and harmful. O bhikkhu, by avoiding these two extremes, the Tathagata has found out the middle path, which gives vision, which the knowledge, which tends to peace, higher wisdom, enlightenment, and nibbana. And what, O bhikkhu, is that middle path, which is found out by the Tathagata, which gives vision, which gives knowledge, which tends towards peace and higher wisdom, enlightenment, and nibbana. It is the very noble eightfold path, namely, right view, right thought, right speech, right action, right living or livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, and right samadhi. This, O Bhikkhu, is that middle path, which is found out by the Tathagata, which gives vision, which gives knowledge, which tends to peace, higher wisdom, enlightenment, and nibbana. So this Noble Eightfold Path is the meditation as taught by the Buddha, where this one leads to enlightenment. They have eight Noble Eightfold Path factors, which are all very virtuous. That's why they are all noble qualities that make them noble ones. The first turning of the Four Noble Truths. Eh? So these three turning, the first turning, you listen, eh? It's very beautiful. First turning is about proclamation. Now this O Bhikkhu is the first Aryan truth of suffering. Birth is suffering. Decay, sickness, and death is suffering. To be conjoined with things or people that we dislike is suffering. To be separated from things which we love or like is suffering. Not to get what one desires, that is also suffering. In short, these five aggregates of form and mind, which are the object of grasping, are suffering. They are rupa vedana sanya sankara vijnana. These five aggregates of the arahant are simple or simply pure khandhas, means pure aggregate. And of people who are not enlightened, they are known as upadana khandhas, as they are based on grasping upadan, upadana khandhas. Now this O Bhikkhu is the second Aryan truth, the origin of suffering, or the cause of the arising of suffering. It is this craving that lead back to birth along with the leo and the lust that finds pleasure now here, now there, namely the craving for sensual pleasure, craving to be or for existent, and the craving for non-existent or not to be. Now this is the third Aryan truth of the cessation of suffering. Verily, it is the forsaking, the release from, and the detachment from this craving. Now this, O Bhikkhu, is the fourth Aryan truth of the path leading to the cessation of suffering. Verily, it is the Aryan Noble Eightfold Path, namely, again, right view, right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right sati and samadhi. This is the Aryan truth of suffering. This, O Bhikkhu, concerning things unheard before. There arose in me vision, knowledge, understanding. There arose in me
wisdom.
Why wisdom again? Oh, just now don't have wisdom. Okay. Wisdom. And there arose in me light. This first Aryan truth of suffering is to be understood. This is the second turning. Thus, O Bhikkhu, concerning things unheard before, there arose in me vision, knowledge, understanding, wisdom, and light. This first Aryan truth of suffering has already been understood. Third turning. Thus, O Bhikkhu, concerning things unheard before, there arose in me vision, knowledge, understanding, wisdom, and light. This is the second Aryan truth of the origin of suffering. Thus, O Bhikkhu, concerning things unheard before, there arose in me vision, knowledge, understanding, wisdom, and light. This Aryan truth of the origin of suffering should be abandoned. Second turning. Thus, O Bhikkhu, concerning things unheard before, then repeat the rest. Eh? This second Aryan truth of the origin of suffering has already been abandoned, the third turning. Thus, O Bhikkhu, concerning things unheard before, there arose in me vision, knowledge, understanding, wisdom, and light. This is the third Aryan proof on the cessation of suffering. Thus, O Bhikkhu, concerning things unheard before, then repeat. This third Aryan truth of the cessation of suffering should be realized. So this is a second turning. Then after that, this third Aryan truth of the cessation of suffering has already been realized. Third turning. Thus, O Bhikkhu, concerning things unheard before, there arose in me vision, knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. And there arose in me light. Then the fourth noble truth. This is the fourth Aryan truth of the path leading to cessation of all suffering. Thus, O Bhikkhu, concerning things unheard before, then repeat. Then the second turning is this fourth Aryan truth of the path leading to a cessation of suffering, which is the Noble Eightfold Path, should be cultivated, second turning. Then this fourth noble truth of the path leading to a cessation of suffering has already been cultivated, third turning. Now, O Bhikkhu, as long as my knowledge and insight of this four noble truth, under the three turning or aspect of dual mode, in their essential nature, was not perfectly clear to me, so long, O Bhikkhu, I do not profess in this world among the Devas, Maras, Brahmas, among the hosts of recluses and Brahmins, including gods and mankind, that I have gained the incomparable supreme enlightenment. When, O Bhikkhu, my knowledge and insight of this four noble truth under its three turning or 12 aspects, in their essential nature, was quite clear to me. Then only, O Bhikkhu, I did profess in this world, among the Devas, Maras, Brahmas, hosts of recluses, and Brahmins, including gods and mankind, that I have gained the incomparable supreme enlightenment. There arose in me knowledge and insight, sure in my heart's release. This is my last birth. There is no more becoming for me. Thus spoke the Blessed One, and the companion of five bhikkhu were glad and rejoiced with the word of the Blessed One. When this discourse was expounded, there arose in the Venerable Kandanya the pure and stainless eye of truth. Whatsoever is of an originating nature is subject to cessation. See? Law of dependent origination. When the foundation of the kingdom of righteousness has been thus established by the Blessed One, the devas of the earth raise the cry. Near Benares is Isipatana in the Diapa, has been established by the Blessed One. The unsurpassed kingdom of righteousness, which has not been established before either by the Samana, a Brahma, a Deva, a Mara, a Brahman, and by anyone whatsoever in the world. Hearing the cry of the earth inhabiting demons, hearing the cry of the devas from Chakru, Maharaja, Jiva, Tavatinsa, Yama, Dusita, Nimana Rati, Paranimana Rati, Vasavati, and the devas of the Brahma, Parisaja, Brahma, Purohita, Mahabrahma, plus all the other Brahmas, up to the formless line, also raised the cry near the nearest city at Isipatana in the Deepa, has been established by the Blessed One, the unsurpassed kingdom of righteousness, which has not been established before, either by a Samana, a Brahmin, a Deva, a Mara, a Brahma, or by anyone whatsoever in the world. Thus, at that very hour, at that very moment, in an instant of time of cry, the cry reached even the Brahmarayan. And this whole system of 10,000 world system, quack and quack again, it was shaken to and fro. An immeasurable, mighty, radiant, shine forth, surpassing even the refuges of the devas. Thereupon, the Exalted One uttered the solemn saying, Kondanya indeed has understood. Kondanya indeed has understood. Thus it was Venerable Kondanya who won the name Atna Kondanya, means the one who has understood. So Kondanya became a Sotapan after that. Thus end the discourse on setting in motion the wheel of Dhamma. See, just the four noble truths in his threatening. And this ascetic haven't even contemplated in the threatening. And yet, one of them, Kondanya, has become a Sotapan. So, this particular Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the first sermon, is very, very amazing and beautiful. Like I shared with you all, in the year 1972 or 73, I forgot around that time, when I received the book, the first edition of Chiravan Kesari, the late chief, Kesari Dhammananda. Then I flipped through the red book. I saw what my mother is doing was traditional Chinese belief and tradition, nothing to do with the Dhamma. I was full of joy. Because I thought what my mother do if that is Buddhism, I forget all Buddhism. Because can bargain one. I make offering, you in return, bless my children, yeah, help them to pass exam or do well in study and all those things. Or ask for good health and all those things. So at that time, if that is Buddhism, I say I cannot accept. Then when I saw this one, I was full of joy. Oh, means what my mother do was not the teachings of the Buddha. Then I started to get interested in what the Buddha teach. Then I read further, then I saw the Four Noble Truths. You see, that Four Noble Truths that I saw is a summary. I didn't even hear the full version, or what they call the threatening version. And yet, at that time, my nature shine forth straight away inside, deep inside, rejoice. No need to search, that's it. Nobody 2600 over years ago can come out with this summary after he gained his enlightenment. I even said my nature, even if I were to become enlightened, I can't summarize all of my understanding into just one number two. That's why I say this one is the essence of the Buddha's teaching and is the secret of life. It explained to me clearly all of life, both mundane and supramundane. That's why it has such impact. So if you have your past, the moment you read this or you heard about it, you awaken. Yeah. So for me, I knew, no doubt, that's it. That's why after that, when I entered the university 1 year later, after lower six, after I finished my upper six, I remember 1975, May, beginning of May, I entered MU. The first day, somebody told me that there is this chief reverend, Kesari Dhammananda, coming to science faculty to give a Dhamma talk. So I was full of joy when I listened. First time I saw a monk in full of ball shape and speak so eloquent English and so scientific his talk. So I was full of joy. Then I went for after the Dhamma club, the Dhamma talk to ask for his address. Then after that, not long, I get my motorbike from last class sent out. So the first thing I do is to drive to Wakefield. Then the rest is history. You know, when I was approaching Wakefield, very strange. It was 8 something, I think, coming to 9 o'clock. That was the morning chanting. Then the Pali chanting. I hear the vibration, like, very familiar. So I was full of joy. Then when I went there, after I parked my motorbike, oh, first time I saw Buddhist temple with the Rupang. So I pay my respect. I went and joined in the chanting. So when I joined the chanting, the time very still, you know. I like to follow, you know. Then I have the card that they give, the chanting card they distribute unto all devotees. So not long, very fast, I become like very familiar in the chanting. Yeah. That's why a lot of strange things happened. Then I started to visit the book library. Then I received a lot of free booklet. Then I started to read. Then I saw in the book library, they have this Dhamma book. But mainly they were but they were not bad. Some of the series, the author were quite good. Then the small booklet are mainly Chiravana. That's why after I read those things, I felt like joy, because first time I start to understand Buddhist teaching. Then later on, I attended the talk. Chief Reverend got Friday talk, got Sunday talk. Then later on, I went back. The first day I met him, after I heard the talk, I went back and meditated. I don't know how to meditate. But the moment I sat, I thought half an hour, I looked at the clock, the watch, 4 a.m. in the morning. I've been sitting there for 4 hours. No pain, nothing. And I don't know, it was 4 hours. Well, my mind went into the formless. Not jhana. I didn't go into jhana. He penetrated the formless line. Because he said, look inside. So he pointed to the brain. So I thought mine is at the brain. So I looked inside. So when I was looking inside, actually, as a science student, I'm very good at concentration. If I want to study something, I fully committed on. I can concentrate. I can study whole night. So what happened was, when it come to that type of meditation, very easy. I got nothing to do. I just look inside. Then it was blank, nothing. Then suddenly I saw a bright spot. Very small bright spot shining. So I tell myself, what is this? So I give it a focus now, where I can focus on. Because I my mind that time I can concentrate on. So I focus on that bright spot. Then it got stuck there. Then after that I realized I might as well give it a push. No sound. Then when you know. It's like a spaceship or that traveling out, very fine. Actually, that one is my mind. Into infinite space. Then after a while, it starts to withdraw. But I became so calm, so still, so tranquil. My whole formation, body and mind, become like transformed. So I felt good. I felt charged. First time I experienced the Tao peace. Then I tell myself, oh, this must be Buddhist meditation. So what happened was, I thought it was half an hour. I look at the watch, 4 hours. Yeah. So I didn't know that was a formless rhyme. My mind just went in infinite space. Means the rhyme of infinite space. So when I came out, my whole mind was so calm, so still. It's not only for that night. Over the next 1 week or so, that mind was like that. Oh, I said this was meditation. Then after that, I went to Brickfield. Then I think that time, Reverend Mahinda was teaching down there. I think he was a new Novik monk. So he taught Anapanasati as usual. So I go there, and then very naturally I can do Anapanasati. Then after that I come back and I meditate regularly. Then my mind becomes so still, so calm. Then I did metta, where I received the booklet, metta bhavana. Then my mind like becomes so still. At the center of the heart, like a still energy. The energy is like a still cold in the center of my heart, very still on the energy. Then I was so calm, so still because of the anapanasati and the absorption and also that continuous mindfulness absorption. So because of that, with the metta so strong every day, then I felt so good, full of joy, like nothing can disturb me. Even lightning strike, boom, cannot go near, cannot go in. No fear, nothing. It like reverberate, what is reverberate? Like upside, cannot touch the heart, cannot go in. Then I'll say, wow, this is good. So for 3 4 years, I was doing this. Then when I graduate, I didn't do already. I didn't do already. So what happened was, when I didn't do that often, we all got career, got a plan and all, say, then I realized my mind start to have ambition. I want to be a successful engineer. Then I want to like top up my qualification credential by doing an MBA. Then I want to become a lawyer too. I want to study law to complement my understanding of the contract law of engineering contract. Then I realized, hey, that still does gone now. Then I start to move again now. Then I got craving, I got desire. Miss that type of ambition. Then I realized something is wrong. Then I remember what the Buddha said, the clear water. Then I start to understand this is a conditioned state now. When I'm no longer doing it, it's gone on now. Without that condition, it's gone on. So this one not born of wisdom now. Then I know already something not right. But I don't know how to proceed after that. I just let it be. Then later on, Master Shen Hua came, 1986. Oh, 86 he came. Kuan Yin also the message came. So 86, 87, 88, before 89. The book come, the teacher come, the guide come, I met at Ayantra and all my other teacher and guide. Everything fall into place. Then I developed the understanding. Then I transform. That's why I know that it was a conditioned state. Because Ajahn told me the highest meditation. I thought something very fantastic. Then he recite very simple. We choose aware every action, every movement in the present moment. Huh? I said, that's the highest. Then I realized I have not done it. I want all the time anapanasati and this absorption thing. Calmness, stillness, all this. Then I tried. I tried. Really, I realized I hardly can maintain for 5 minutes of awareness in a day unless I'm in anapanasati. Then I realized this is not the way. That's why I release the energy out. Then I follow Ajahn's instruction. He even asked, who want to promise? So I didn't know. I thought promising, I put up my hand. After that, two of us, I remember with him. After that, he said, you promised the Buddha, not only me. You promised the Buddha, you dare to break or not? You sure dare not? Anyway, I was full of joy. Then I do wrong. That's why I told you, I do. I determine. Of course, Shen Hua also helped me build the 10,000 bow. Then when I determined to be aware, I told you the awareness go to the heart there until the energy build up, then it's open up. Then it keep on aware, aware. So that's how I started. Then within 2 weeks, the sati came, the awareness came. Then only I understood what sati is. The pure awareness without any word, any concept. That's why all this started. And nobody taught me. I just do and I find out. Then I realize what they say. Then I start to see my subtle mental intention, my motive, my whatever. That's why I never see. Then only I understood why the Buddha said living beings are ignorant. At first, we're very snobbish or very howling. A university student, no, top my school in my state, no. And we are the cream, no, the top don't know how many percent of me can enter NU and study engineering. So we say, how can you say we are ignorant? So that time, really very arrogant. The word is arrogant, not snobbish. Snobbish is the rich widow or lady on earth. This one is arrogant. Arrogant. Then after a while, when I saw all this, I started to understand what the Buddha meant by avijja, or ignorant. Really full of ignorance, delusion. Why? Everything I do, I realize, always got motive, got reason, If it don't benefit me, I don't want to do, If it's not related to me, I also not interested, Then I realize everything that I desire for has a motive, like want to study MBA, want to study law, is what? For my career and all those things. Then I saw all this, every moment, every instant, there is no pure thought, no virtuous thought. It is in fact all the worldly way of thinking. Then I realized, this is why the Buddha said we are ignorant. You can be a top student. You know all of chemistry, physics, which I score in the school. But then when it comes to spiritual understanding, I am really, really very, very primitive. Like I don't understand because I don't know how to take care of mine. And I saw all this. Then I knew this is not the way to live life. Understand? Then the evil root, everything. You can see one. Greed is an evil root. Selfishness is an evil root. Emotional negativity, that bosong, unhappy feeling when you cannot get. So the first of the two reality, I start to see them more, very clearly. That's why after that, I became different. Then I look second of the two, the cause of arising suffering, craving. Then I put to test. That's how I came to know the two aspects. Because he said, five agree from my mind. Nobody write anything else. They only quote the five things. Rupa, Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, with the translation. But what are they? Because to understand, I must find out. Then when I understand what is this five agree, then I can put to test. That's why the first two aspects of five agree from my mind, I contemplated and I realized that is what it is. Well, I inquire very simple. I say, I don't know. I cannot understand. I want to find out. The Buddha say, you are the form and the mind. Then the form I know is a physical form. So the first aspect, very easily I get it. A human being. Then I test. If I attach, grasp, cling, have craving to have this form, forever young, don't get old, don't get sick, don't die. Impossible, understand? Yeah, this one go the way of nature. I saw the five daily contemplation. As I understood, I said, yeah. This first aspect must be the five ingredient. Then attach feeling. If I attach to feeling, I want pleasant feeling. When there is no condition for it, unpleasant feeling arise, I suffer. Understand? Then if I attach to what I perceive, I also suffer. That if I attach to my views, opinion, and thinking, and emotion, I also suffer. That if I attach to all the consciousness that arise, with the scenery, the whatever that I perceive through my consciousness, if I attach and cling, I suffer. Oh, I say, this is beautiful. Then after that, I realize every moment of consciousness, there is also the form in the mind. Because later on, when I developed mindfulness, I saw it. How the external form went in. Before I perceived through memory, there was none. That's why the direct seeing was there already. But people cannot understand, people cannot see. Then I understood. That's why the two aspects, no book right. I dare to tell you. Then I put to test. Wow, really, same as the first aspect, except now is external form. External rupa, that perception brought in. That's why I say that is the sense data that enter the mind, the mundane mind, the thinking mind. So this is how it all started. Then the rest is history. After I developed the daily mindfulness, I saw all this. I understood. That's why I have been telling you, unless you develop the daily mindfulness, you cannot see on a day that you don't stand a chance at all. Like the Buddha said, the heedless eyes, it did. Your stability of daily mindfulness must be very stable until in the midst of life. Every moment, every instant, you are heedful. Because the moment you are heedless, your eyes are dead. You don't stand a chance. So this is what the Four Noble Truth is all about. The power of the Four Noble Truth. Then the three turning is to help you to develop the three type of corresponding wisdom. No book write about that. Nobody tie the three turning to that three type of wisdom. The Theravada tradition got the three type of wisdom. Sutamaya Panya, Cintamaya Panya, and Bhavanamaya Panya. They have this, but they cannot tie to the three turning. Understand? Yeah. So very few people can explain the three turning of the Four Noble Truth. So hopefully with this, you understand why the Buddha teach this as the first one, the Dhammacakka. Then from here, all the other essential Dhamma come about. The Noble Eightfold Path has all the essential Dhamma spin off from there because of the eight path factor. Okay? Okay, we go on to the next one. Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, page 43. This one is very good. Janta, you know this channel, right? Give it a try. What time?
7:30.
7:30 earlier. Exceeded. Okay, now wait, tomorrow. We got quite long. Tomorrow. We wait for tomorrow.
Dr. J can practice.
Oh, you can train yourself first. You got a chanting book on our retreat. Oh, yeah. Mm.
Oh,
hey, I exceeded so much. 7 to 7:30 meditation also gone. Huh? No need to meditate. Oh, shit, holy hour. Okay, lah, never mind. Since your afternoon meditate already, 1.5 hours. Okay, so we leave the chanting for tomorrow. Tomorrow. Then after we chant, I explain. Then we will cover the whole thing. Okay. Then we go to 7:30 to 9:15, Q&A, and Dhamma discussion and sharing. We are reviewing the Heart Sutra, Dhamma notes. We can continue. Okay. Manyan, please help.
Three point three. How do I overcome discrimination against a specific person? Question three. How do I overcome discrimination against a specific person? Brother Gil answered, when you use your false thinking or condition arising discriminative thinking mind to see and perceive a specific person via your wrong views and opinions born of your own mind's conditioning, then this discriminative perception will arise. The problem is your sakayatiti or self-delusion that conditions you to deludedly cling onto your false thinking mind, leading to your inability to realize your true mind to see things as they are via wisdom. This refers to the 7th Surangama Sutra notes dated 8th of January 2013 for further explanation on this.
Yeah, anyway, I have already explained before. So now you know this discriminating thinking mind is actually your mundane mind with its sankara activity, understand not? And that is the 7 consciousness. That's why Alicia can get the understanding from my previous sharing, when biasing, discrimination. But that one create discrimination. Yeah, your views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system. That is all memory. Yeah. Okay, continue. Next page.
34th Heart Sutra Class and Meditation Class. Part 1. Recapitulation and emphasis on the previous lesson. 1.1. Words for opening a sutra. The unsurpassed, profound, and wonderful Dharma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of eons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. Reciting the above opening words with great sincerity and faith is very important because it reminds us clearly of the following. 1. Rare is birth as a human being. 2. Rare is the opportunity of hearing the Dhamma. 3. Dangerous is the delusion of mind. Via the analogy of turtles egg in the great ocean. In the Mahaparinibbana Sutta, the Buddha used the metaphor of a blind turtle in a vast ocean to explain how difficult it is to be reborn as a human being, and at the same time to have a chance of hearing the Dhamma. Suppose there is a turtle egg floating on a vast ocean. The turtle egg has a hole the size of which is just slightly larger for the head of a turtle to pop into. There is a long leaf sea turtle in the ocean. Once every 100 years, this turtle comes out from the bottom of the ocean and pops his head into the ocean surface, and the probability of it hitting the hole of the turtle egg is the probability of being born as a human being and to hear the Buddha Dhamma, i.e. to be able to be born a human and having the chance to hear the Dhamma is just as hard as for the blind turtle to encounter the turtle's egg on a vast ocean and let its head go through the hole of this turtle egg. Therefore, do not be heedless anymore, so that you will not lose sight of this great opportunity of already having a special condition to be a human being and a great condition to hear the Dhamma, yet not taking it seriously to diligently cultivate to awaken to it is going to be a real waste. If one misses this window, it may be hundreds or millions of years later before one can have another such condition or opportunity.
So remember this. We have this sasana, this golden window, very short. It's the most important. Okay?
1.2. What is sifuness or apamada? Question 1. What is heedfulness or apamada? Brother Teo answered, the importance of heedfulness is clearly expounded by the Buddha via his Dhammapada verses 21, 22, and 23. The Buddha said under Dhammapada verse 21, heedfulness is the path to the deathless, and the heedful never die, whereas the heedlessness is the path to death, and the heedless are as if dead. So do not be heedless and do strive on in heedfulness always. Apamada is the silent mind in heedfulness, attentiveness, alertness, non-laxity, diligence, and vigilance to develop the meditation to liberate the mind. Apamada or heedfulness is the cornerstone of all skillful mental states, and it is of such importance that the Buddha stressed it in his parting words or last exhortation. Transient are all conditioned things and phenomena. Strike on with heedfulness. Apamadena Sambadena. 1.3. Apamada Sutta. Below is the Apamada Sutta as translated by Tasi Saro Bhikkhu. Apamada Sutta. At Savati, as he was sitting to one side, King Pasinadi of Kosala said to the Blessed One, is there, Lord, any one quality that keeps both kinds of benefits secure? Benefits in this life and benefits in lives to come. There is one quality, great king, that keeps both kinds of benefits secure. Benefits in this life and benefits in lives to come. But what, Lord, is that one quality? It is heedfulness, great king. Just as the footprints of all living beings with legs can be encompassed by the footprint of the elephant's footprint is declared to be supreme among them in terms of its great size. In the same way, heedfulness is the one quality that keeps both kinds of benefits secure, benefits in this life and benefits in lives to come. That is what the Blessed One said. Having said that, the one well gone, the teacher said further, for one who desires a long life, health, beauty, heaven, and noble birth, lavish delights one after another, the wise praise heedfulness in performing deeds of merit. When heedful and wise, you achieve both kinds of benefit. One, benefits in this life, and two, benefits in lives to come. By
okay, wait, I just explain a bit. So you remember this. Huh? For one who desires long life, beauty, heaven, and noble birth, lavish delight one after another in non-stop law. The wise praise on heedfulness in performing deeds of merit. You know why is the statement this way? Because when you are heedful, you are destined for enlightenment. That's why you will have the third phase of Dhamma, Pativeda. You will live the life of a noble one. And all this that is mentioned, they will arise. So this is the reason why heedfulness is most important. Okay, continue.
By bringing true to your benefit, you are called enlightened wise. To be mindful or insati is to be in a state of relaxed inner awareness or attentiveness without thought. To be heedful is to be aware or mindful before the knowing, to understand the truth or to see things as they are. When the mind is silenced, mindful and attentive without thought, then it is insati. The silent mind with inner awareness to cultivate the Buddha Dharma, thus developing the wisdom of Panya, is heedfulness. The opposite of heedfulness is heedlessness. And when one is heedless, one is hardly aware and one merely conscious of life because one is too busy or heedlessly thinking, planning, and worrying about life, so much so one totally misses out on life. One never really lives life because one is so preoccupied with one's thinking or thought processes, hence the heedlessness, while you're constantly lost in thought most of the time and throughout the day. Heedful living allows us to be ever mindful of all our mental intentions behind all our actions, speech, and thought processes. This will enable us to cultivate the noble eightfold path, factors of right speech, right action, and right thought, while following the advice of the Buddha to apply the appropriate four right efforts to avoid all evil, do good, and purify our mind. Heedfulness will prevent us from being heedless throughout the day, so that the five hindrances of mind can be overcome and finally eradicated. Heedfulness will also enable us to trace the origination factors of the five hindrances of mind and three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion when they arise due to one's reaction of mind to sense experiences. By understanding how they arise via wisdom, we will be able to retrospectively reverse it. With heedfulness, we will be able to put the teachings to test and witness the Four Noble Truths and the Law of Dependent Origination or 12 links occurring within our own form and mind with every moment of mental activity. Heedfulness will also enable us to see things as they are via our sati and samadhi leading to the wisdom of Panya. When one is heedful and mindful with inner awareness most of the time, one can see everything very clearly because the silent mind is not distracted by anything and it is not preoccupied with any heedless thinking, so it can see things as they are. It can be aware of thoughts, mental intentions, emotions, fear, etc. It can also be aware of all movements like the moving cars, all our physical actions and movements, etc. When the mindfulness stabilizes, it will develop into a continuous flow. Then your seeing or awareness will be so different because it can be aware of all life's physical, mental, and nature flow. The mind is just silent and aware, one with all phenomena, without thought and always heedful. When one's mind is no longer preoccupied with all the heedless thinking, then there is great clarity and one can see very clearly. Just like the saying goes, truth is everywhere. Why can't you see? For those who see, they always see. That is, when one is heedful, there is no thought. Only the senses are aware, so there is a lot of clarity. Everything is so clear. Without thoughts, there are no evil roots, i.e. no fear, no selfishness, and emotional negativity, etc. So, develop the silent mind with inner awareness to be heedful always. For more details on heedfulness, please refer to the recorded talk. 1.4. How to overcome anger? Question: how to overcome anger? Brother Teo answered, when there is anger arising, just be aware, don't think. Then silence your mind and sit back to relax. After a while, the agitation due to the steering of your mind into anger via your heedlessness and delusion will slow down. Then suddenly it will become completely still. then you will come to understand with joy clearly that if you don't react to stir the mind, then you are in your original natural state of mind, which is peaceful and calm.
So this one is how you should do it. Eh? Please pay attention to this one. When you have emotion, anger or fear or whatever, do it. Be aware, stay with it. Eh? Then it will start to slow down. Yes, no more condition for it to proliferate. Then suddenly it will become completely still. And remember, within minutes, it's gone. Then you feel the whole thing becomes so tranquil, so still, cooling. No more agitation, no more emotion, no more anger, nothing. That is your true mind. Okay? Yeah. Continue.
The analogy of a pool of still water will help illustrate the point. If stirred by a falling branch of a stone thrown into it, the ripples will start to form. Wind and weather may also create waves, just like fear and anger, appearing in the mind due to external stimulus. A mind that is heedful, wise, and constantly aware will not be stirred by any illusion. Hence, it will be very calm and peaceful always. As habitual tendencies developed over the years are difficult to eradicate or do away with, one will need to be heedful most of the time throughout their daily life to stabilize the wisdom to deal with the strong habitual negative tendencies. When the spiritual faculty of samadhi and enlightenment factor of equanimity are there, then one will no longer be entangled. The mind that is transformed will not react anymore, and instead, it will just flow and accord via wisdom. When you try to share and there is no condition, but then others want to argue and want to be right, then you will say, yes, you are right, and let them be right. Because they don't understand duality as yet, so just let things be. One must ask the question, right according to who? And why must one defend oneself? It is because of the ego, the self-delusion that conditions one's selfishness, emotional negativities and fear. Understand that things are just the way they are. No right, no wrong, via seeing things as they are. Grasping and clinging to sense experiences via delusion is the cause of suffering. Only wisdom liberates and frees the mind, nothing else. With wisdom, one will be able to understand and appreciate life more and more. Part 3, meditation. 3.1. This is what you are supposed to see in your meditation. Question 1. During meditation, I heard and perceived the branches of the tree, and I returned to Anapanasati. But then the thoughts regarding the falling branches arise. May I have your comments? Brother Dio answered, this is what you are supposed to see in your meditation, because there is this subtle grasping going on within the mind. Meditation is to uncover all these unhealthy delusion and unwholesome subtle attachments to what we perceive in every moment of our conscious self, sense experiences via our trained mind in heedfulness or silent inner awareness to understand what is going on in our own mind, in our own form and mind. How we are conditioned into thinking and reaction of mind, likes and dislikes, via our own delusion or sakkaya ditti. Why do these thoughts arise and not other thoughts? And we also see clearly how we are conditioned into grasping and clinging, leading to suffering caused by our own self-delusion, selfishness, and emotional negativities, the three evil roots, which are the roots of all evil. In this particular case, there is this curiosity of mind due to ignorance that conditions your grasping to what you perceive earlier, which is the falling branches. This is attachment to one of our five aggregates of form and mind, and in this case, it is the perception aggregate. So the first of the dependent origination link of avijja pachaya sankara, or dependent on ignorance, sankara, which is mental activities, comes to be. Hence the thought of thinking about the falling branches. This is witnessing how your mind functions, and via all this heedfulness training, you will also witness all of the Buddha's training, like the four noble
Buddha's teachings,
like the Four Noble Truths and the 12 Links, etc. In your own life experiences, wire your daily mindfulness to understand who you are and what you are, including how you function as a human being, how the sense door consciousness and the steering of mind come to be, etc. So as to develop the requisite wisdom and understanding leading to the subsequent awakening via insight into the three characteristics of nature, of anicca, dukkha, and anatta, especially the anatta universal characteristics. For further details, please listen to the recorded talk. The 35th and 36th Heart Sutra classes and meditation class. Part 1, recapitulation and emphasis on the previous lesson. 1.1, to develop the heedfulness needed to cultivate the meditation. To develop the heedfulness needed to cultivate the meditation, as taught by the Buddha, one must at least understand what is heedfulness and what is meditation, as taught by the Buddha, in order to start. It is just like you have a problem and you come to a meditation teacher and he said to you, just meditate and your problem will be resolved. Is this going to be useful if you do not even want to find out what your problem is? How can you start solving a problem when you do not know what your problem is? Similarly, with meditation, if you do not understand what meditation is, then how can you start developing it? Meditation and cultivation must be done with understanding so that one is not gullible. Dhammapada verses 21, 22, and 23 already stress the importance of heedfulness. So heedfulness must be a part of you in order to realize the enlightenment. Continuous heedfulness is the key to the noble life. Those without heedfulness cannot become enlightened. Please refer to the earlier 34 Heart Sutra notes for the detailed explanation of what heedfulness is. As meditation is a very general word, it is important to understand the meditation as taught by the Buddha. The real meditation as taught by the Buddha is to develop the wisdom via insight into three universal characteristics of nature, anicca, dukkha, and anatta, so as to be at peace with all situations whenever you are. Term Upadi Vivika. Fully relax and be aware to develop the wisdom born of direct seeing. The thought must not interfere. There is just clarity of mind leading to the awakening or insight into the three universal characteristics of nature. The mind that is liberated is so free. It understands all of phenomena, whether physical, mental, or and natures, are all empty and they are all conditions arising or causal phenomena following nature's law. This is deep penetrative wisdom. In cultivation, we should thank those people who are not so friendly and constantly making things difficult for us, because they are the ones that can give us the conditions to test our cultivation. Hence, we should perceive them with wholesomeness and wisdom while accepting them as they are, then expressing our gratitude towards them. Then, great compassion will naturally arise in our mind. Do not perceive any situation with negativity, for the absence of negativity is good. So don't try to do good, because without wisdom, one can end up becoming just a good-hearted fool. The enlightened ones are so heedless, chasing and clinging after so many things in life. They still grieve and worry about life, despite having so many things and possessions, for they lack contentment and wisdom to live life. The first noble truth of dukkha, that expounds so clearly the eight realities of life and existence, needs to be understood. Otherwise, they can really make human beings miserable. Without understanding the true Dharma as taught by the Buddha, suffering will be the final result. So, strive on in heedfulness and do not be heedless. Please listen to the recorded tape for more details. Part 3, Meditation 3.1. The same worrying and hurt and fearful thoughts keep coming back. Question 1. While cultivating mindfulness in daily life, I was able to be mindful most of the time when I'm going about living the normal life. But when confronted with work-related and personal problems, I find it very difficult to maintain that heedfulness, and I realize that the same worrying and fearful thoughts keep coming back to haunt me. How can I overcome this? Brother Teo answered, this is a very good question. Yes, when there are no first noble truth realities to disturb us, cultivating heedfulness and mindfulness in daily life is fairly easy. The challenge is when one is confronted with the first noble truth realities of birth, old age, sickness, and death, threatening separation from loved ones and one's prized possessions, etc., like work-related and personal health, career, relationship, financial problems, etc. Can your mind still be peaceful and calm to cultivate the requisite heedfulness? This is most difficult, but it can be done if one has developed the appropriate wisdom to confront them with right understanding. This is the reason why the Buddha constantly advised the bhikkhus to reflect on the five daily contemplations and to strive on with heedfulness to arise the much needed wisdom to overcome all these first noble truth realities. 3.2. The five daily contemplations are as follows. 1. Our body is of the nature to decay and grow old, for it has not gone beyond old age and decay. 2. Our body is of the nature to be diseased or sick, because it has not gone beyond diseases and sicknesses. 3. Our body is of the nature to die, for it has not gone beyond death. 4. All of our loved ones, wealth, property, and other prized possessions, etc., which we hold on to so dearly, they will all one day separate from us or we separate from them when our breath stops. 5. This is the great law of karma and is also the first right view that we must develop or have to begin our cultivation. Each and every one of us, including all living beings, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of our karma. This is the great law of karma. Since karma is so important, we must all take care of our karma while avoiding all evil, do good and purify our minds, which is the advice of all Buddhas, to develop the strong karmic nature, to bring about the good life every time we come or choose to come. Once the wisdom born of one's cultivation and above constant reflections and contemplation has stabilized, then these projections of wrong thoughts to haunt you will not have power over you. Wrong thoughts are deluded thoughts that condition one's fear, worry, anxiety, and suffering, wire one's self-delusion or sakkaya ditti, that condition one to cling on to the five aggregates as the I and the me, hence the heedlessness. So ultimately, it is wisdom that really frees and liberates one's mind. Job pressures, deadlines, and targets can be very stressful within the job and career environment if one has not developed the wisdom to confront them with understanding. It is not easy. The same goes for personal problems. So the Dharma understanding to confront all these first noble truth realities is very important. And this is the reason why the Buddha final advice before his passing away is to strive all his heedfulness to develop the requisite wisdom to liberate one's life. 3.3.
One's mind.
To liberate one's mind. 3.3. Understanding the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Dhammapada verses 21, 22, 20, and 23 confirm the importance of heedfulness in order to become enlightened. Heedfulness or apamada is equal to ever mindful, which is sati, plus to cultivate the Dharma and the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So the first thing we must do when starting this meditation is to train our mind to be in sati or silent inner awareness, to be ever mindful without thought most of the time. Then only use this trained mind in sati to meditate and cultivate the Dharma as taught by the Buddha. How do we train this mind to be mindful and aware most of the time? First, we must understand why we are most of the time heedless and not mindful, aware, and peaceful. According to the Buddha, it is because of the five mental hindrances that condition our heedless thinking, thereby steering our mind and hindering our mind from returning to its natural meditative state of inner peace and calmness, before the stirring. The five mental hindrances of sensual desire, ill will, sore and torpor, which is lethargic or sleepiness, restlessness or agitated mind due to fear, worry, anxiety, and lastly, doubt. The five mental hindrances condition our heedless thinking, lack of peace and awareness, so we must reverse all this while cultivating the opposite five, which are the five spiritual faculties. Sada or confidence in the Buddha and his teaching. Riddhiya or spiritual zeal, tenacity to cultivate heedfulness. Sati or mindfulness or awareness. Samadhi or collectiveness of mind, unwavering mind, and panya or wisdom. To cultivate these five spiritual faculties, the Buddha recommended the pre and post puja, or devotional practices of paying respect or homage to the Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha, and taking refuge in them, followed by the renewal of five precepts, chanting the various salutations to the Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha, etc. The paying of respect and the taking of refuge, followed by the chanting of the various salutations, is to develop the faith of Sada and Viriya's spiritual faculties. Then the paying of respect or mindful reverential salutation is to develop the composed mind to be mindful while paying respect to the Buddha. So do not underestimate the importance of puja in the cultivation process. When sati is developed, samadhi will come to be. And with sati and samadhi, one will be able to have the clarity of mind to see things as they are, without the interference of thoughts, via the sati in direct seeing, hence awakening to the truth leading to the wisdom. Then, to decondition the heedless thinking, we use the mind sweeping method as a skillful means to train our mind to just feel and relax, no more thinking, as we sweep the mind through our body. This will allow the mind to naturally relax and calm down on its own. We can also combine it with the radiating of metta or loving kindness to develop the inner well-being and wholesome state of mind to enhance our meditation. After the mind sweeping method and metta training, our mind should be relaxed, calm, and peaceful. Then we can use it to develop sati, the silent mind with inner awareness, via the anapanasati or mindfulness of the in and out breath, training as taught by the Buddha in his Kaya Nupassana practices. After that, when sati is already stable, we should move on to the mindfulness of the four postures, followed by the sati sabbajana or the daily mindfulness with clear comprehension, training as described in the Kaya Nupassana's six categories of practices. Once sati is established, use it to cultivate the three turnings of the four noble truths and the four foundations of mindfulness to complete the training. The real meditation as taught by the Buddha is the cultivation of the noble eightfold path leading to the cessation of all suffering and enlightenment in the here and the now. Summary of cultivation 3.4. Train the mind to be heedful via a puja or devotional practices. A daily religious routine will be useful. B. Mind sweeping method and metta. C. Anapanasati. D. Mindfulness of the four postures. And E. Mindfulness and clear comprehension of all actions and all movements in the present moment, or daily mindfulness and clear comprehension training. Once heedful, use the trained mind to cultivate the three turnings of the four noble truths and the four foundations of mindfulness or satipatthana practices. The 37 Heart Sutra and Meditation Class, Part 1, Recapitulation and Emphasis on the Previous Lesson, 1.1, Understanding the Three Conditions for Brother Theo's Dharma Sharing. In order not to arise any unnecessary misunderstanding or karmic consequences, Brother Theo had been reluctant to share his Dharma understanding until about 9 years ago, when he was approached three times by a very sincere sister of the Dharma, asking him to share his rather good understanding of the Dharma. Brother Theo then contemplated and finally agreed to share the Dharma, but with the following three conditions. Number one, call it a Dharma sharing instead of a Dharma talk, because the talk could be like a one-way traffic, not offering any chance of having a fair discussion to clarify matters from the audience. Also, sharing means no authority over one another. And as Dharma friends, we are here to share our understanding of the Dharma with mutual respect for each other's cultivation, i.e., I respect you for what you are, and hopefully you can also respect me for what I am. 2. No right and no wrong. If it is beneficial to you, use it. If it's not, have an open mind, because we are not here to argue about right and wrong. Right and wrong is just a relative measurement or opinion as expressed by someone according to their views and opinions, and it is not something absolute. As such, it is not beneficial at all. If we are not careful, it may lead to unnecessary arguments and misunderstandings too. 3. To have an open mind to listen attentively and to take or make use of whatever that is useful and beneficial to progress along the path of Dharma. Also, do not quote me, because it can be very dangerous. If you quote me, what I said, without understanding what I mean, what I meant, it can get both of us into unnecessary trouble. Just say, Brother Teo shared with us his understanding of the Dharma, which we have come to appreciate a lot, because the Dharma, which is a very difficult and profound topic, can be made so simple and taught to us with such clarity that we can so easily relate to it in our daily life, as always pointed out by Brother Teo. According to Brother Teo, life itself is the meditation, and life itself is where the Dharma is, and life itself is our greatest teacher. Truth is everywhere, in the midst of life and nature, so why can't you see? For those who see, they always see. Wisdom cannot be learned or taught, because it is not a rigid knowledge. Wisdom needs to be awakened to, or realized, because it is an overall understanding. Dharma is about realization, and it can only be understood by the wise each for themselves. No one else can understand it for us. At different levels, wisdom is realized differently. If you can understand the deep meaning behind this Surangama saying, perception of form is consciousness, whereas its non-perception is wisdom, then you would have some form of wisdom born of understanding the mind Dharma. For everything is a condition arising, and mind made are they, so not so real. It is only the mundane mind creating the phenomenal world through its own mental perception and consciousness, like the following Zen sayings. 1.2 Zen proverb: mountains are just mountains, mundane seeing. Then, mountains are not mountains, direct seeing. And lastly, mountains are mountains again, seeing things as they are.
So this one, you must actually understand the Mandarin version also. Because in the Mahayana, they always say this, Kan San Si San, Kan San Pu Si San. Then the third level is Kan San Yu Si San. But when I translate to English, it doesn't sound that clear to you. Anyway, if you hear the Mandarin, you will understand. Maya, you can go to Thailand. Because we drink a lot, cold weather. So I take over for one. First, you see mountain as mountain. This is conventional or mundane thing, understand? Our normal consciousness. Then our society's norm, understand? People call it mountain, so it's mountain. Then you see mountain as non-mountain. How? Yeah, this is the seeing with the above Surangama saying, with the understanding. So the Surangama saying say perception of form is consciousness. What is consciousness?
Consciousness.
You see, when you perceive external form, it's consciousness, realize the mundane mind in the sana. So the mundane mind, which is perception, which is sanya, that is the one that see. It's not the pure direct see. So when you perceive, that's what I call it, normal mundane seeing. Then when you have the training ready, when you have the awareness ready, then you can see things as they are. I think the window at the back, can you close it? Where the flies are coming in again. Close it, yeah.
Oh, they
cannot go out. Oh, Pang Pian Jing. Yeah, I saw a few flies coming in. Never mind, it's okay. Yeah. So the first level is mundane seeing, or a lot of. Never mind. The second level is direct seeing. So direct seeing means the pure awareness, the pure perception. When you are just aware before the knowing, before the words, the concept. That's why you see things as they are. Understand? So when you see without words, without concept, then what is it? That's why there is no such thing as the word mountain. Understand? That's why there is second level seeing. But after you have stabilized your understanding, then you understand. The world is the world, understand? Within the existential world, within the existential conditionalizing world, there is such thing as reality. There is such thing as deluded and non-enlightened people. There is also some, very few, enlightened and awakened people. So in order for you to understand life and fit into life after you have developed the wisdom, you have to have a special understanding of the existential world's Dhamma. Dhamma within the existential world exists. That's why the Buddha teach the Dhamma, the Four Noble Truths, law of karma, everything. Then you must understand only that condition arising from my mind. The entity is subject to karma, understand? Because that one has volition, mental intention. Then that one has action, speech, and thought process. That's why it is called karma. The Buddha always used the word is cittena that I call karma. What is cittena? Mental intention. So because of that, you have to be at peace with all conditions and all situations. If they don't have the direct seeing, the normal seeing, not enlightened, they say, yeah, there is a very beautiful mountain. Yeah, mountain. Agree. I got that flow. The direct seeing guy comes, where got mountain? Correct, no mountain. Where you echo and flow. Both has their understanding. So finally, when you can see things as they are, you merge into the third level of seeing. Han san, yu su san. Means finally, you still can be normal, like a normal person. Whatever you see is that thing. Kan san, yu su san. Means you follow convention, the existential world's lingo or language. Understand? Then you got no more problem. Then people will say, well, this guy must be a nut. very funny guy. I said that one mountain is it? No. So people cannot understand all the abstract understanding via the direct seeing. Okay? Then I finish it all. Finally, you see mountains still as mountain again. This is seeing things as they are with understanding that everything is suchness or what is. Able to accept things as they are, accord and flow. Hence, able to accommodate both the conventional seeing and the ultimate reality or seeing, to live life with wisdom and understanding. So this is the understanding. Manyuan, you continue 1.3, Zen analogy.
1.3, Zen analogy. Two monks were arguing about the temple flat waving in the wind. One said, the flat moves. The other said, the wind moves. They argued back and forth, but could not agree. Huinan, the sixth treasurer, said, gentlemen, it is not the flat that moves. It is not the wind that moves. It is your mind that moves. The two monks were struck with awe. This is because Huinan knew that these monks still have formed delusion, So he prompted and hinted to them to see the next level, which is mind dharma. To refer earlier Heart Sutra notes for the detailed explanation of this Zen analogy. 2. Bodhisattva's sons died. No crying, no sorrow and lamentation. Why? Because the Buddha knew whatever that is of the nature to arise is also of the nature to cease, and what has been born has already ceased to be. So no amount of sorrow or lamentation can bring back the death. We have been born so many times, so which one of the many eons of segmented lives or birth and death is you? 3. Cameron Highlands Retreat, stillness, breeze. Dharma contemplation, when your heart is silent and still. All of nature's phenomena plus mental and physical phenomena can be perceived clearly because they keep on arising via mental perceptions and consciousness within your silent or true mind. When at the retreat, you are very relaxed, at ease, and peaceful most of the time. So Dharma contemplation can arise easily, and there is Dharma in everything that comes within your field of perception and awareness. Part 2, Report of Meditation, 2.1. Meditation is not just about developing calmness. Question: when I focus on an object to meditate, I can feel there is a grasping. Thus, I change to free flow and I find it more relaxing and there is better blood circulation with better awareness. Priority answered. Meditation is not just about developing calmness, nor having good and bad meditation experiences, but it is about developing wisdom via the silent mind in awareness to insight into the three universal characteristics of Anicca, Dukkha, and Anatta. Meditation or bhavana consists of two parts, samadhi and panya. First part is samadhi, which is the path factors of samasati and samadhi, i.e. training the mind to be in sati or mindfulness, leading to the samadhi or collected and unwavering mind to arise the heedfulness needed for cultivating insights. Then the second part is to use this trained mind in sati and samadhi to meditate and cultivate the Dharma as taught by the Buddha, leading to heedfulness, to develop the panya or wisdom. So how can you do that? Can you do that by focusing on an object of meditation? Or must you just train your mind to be aware via a skillful means or a meditation object? The latter will lead you to an understanding of what you are doing in the name of meditation. So whatever happens in meditation, as long as you are silent and aware to understand what is going on, then wisdom can arise. If we have expectation that meditation must lead to calmness and good meditation experiences, then we have a problem when it doesn't happen. Most yogis tend to react and chase after good meditation, and what they do is they become unhappy and agitated when they cannot get what they want or expect. Hence, their mind is not at peace with the moment. This lack of understanding is the main problem that traps most yogis. You must understand that the moment you are silent, you are already aware and heedful. So you don't have to try to be aware. The trying is by thought, and if thought is active, how can your mind be silent and aware? The five mental hindrances that hinder your mind from becoming peaceful and calm will arise as long as your mind is deluded and heedlessly lost in thoughts. This habitual tendency of heedless thinking is the main problem. So to counter these five mental hindrances, we need to cultivate the opposite five spiritual faculties of Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya while cultivating the following. Number 1, the devotional practices or puja to develop the faith, the Virya, and Sati. 2, the mind sweeping method and metta to decondition the heedless thinking while just feel and relax, no more thinking. Then 3, cultivate anapanasati or mindfulness of the in and out breath to stabilize the sati born of the birth training leading to the silent mind sati, followed by samadhi and panya. There was a question raised by a yogi during the last Saturday meditation class as to why the random thoughts keep on arising during her meditation. I told her, this is good because at least now you are able to be aware of your own lack of peace and understand why your random thoughts keep arising. Why these thoughts and not other thoughts? When you are aware of this without any reactions of mind and agitation or trying to do anything, then what happens? You will come to realize that these random thoughts arise due to your attachment or clinging to a lot of those mind activities that affected you during your daily life. And these arising thoughts have a lot to do with the memories, which you had deposited or accumulated, scars or memories, into your brain over the years. And since thoughts are a response to memories, that is how random thoughts arise during your meditation. But if you just let it be and remain silent and aware, then these random thoughts will start to slow down on their own until there is just stillness or quietness. Also, if you don't cling and live your life with heedfulness and wisdom, then all this clinging and grasping and accumulation will cease to be, and you will be very peaceful most of the time. We is the three universal characteristics of nature, and Vipassana is to insight into. Hence, Vipassana is a meditation that leads to the ability of the mind to insight into these three universal characteristics of nature to arise the wisdom needed to liberate the mind. So meditation is about insight and not about good or bad meditation. Reaction of mind is due to one's wrong views that condition the arising of the wrong thoughts, leading to the fear, worry, anxiety, and restlessness of mind. Understand why your awareness, how these wrong thoughts come to be, and how they condition our fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, etc. Why your thoughts, projections, and proliferation is very important. Then, understand how Dharma can allow us to develop the wisdom needed to free our mind, leading to the peace and tranquility within. This is meditation. 38 Heart Sutra class and meditation class. Part 1, recapitulation and emphasis on the previous lesson. 1.1, Form Dharma and Mind Dharma. It is important to understand what is Form Dharma and what is Mind Dharma. For example, I am a religious person. My religion says I cannot think certain types of meat. Not permitted, I cannot touch or use the bowl that contains this type of meat used by people of other religions. Then by the same logic, they shouldn't breathe the air that the people of other religions have breathed or the money that they have used. This type of action puts emphasis only on the form Dharma, i.e. they only deal with the form and are not able to see the mind as yet. Form has so much meaning to them, hence they can be deluded by it, and it is because of their attachment to form Dharma that conditions them to cling to the external forms and identify with them as right or wrong, spiritual or non-spiritual. Outwardly, they try to become more spiritual, but inwardly, at the mind level, they are still barren because they cannot see their rather latent defilements, evil mental intentions and thoughts. Another example is taken vegetarian. When you don't understand why are you vegetarian, then the same problem will arise. Some people are vegetarian because they thought by doing so, they will be more spiritual and compassionate because they don't cause to kill anymore. There may be some truth in that statement, but if you don't have the clear understanding of why you go vegetarian, then the illusion can still creep in because you fail to understand that spirituality has nothing to do with what you eat. For spirituality is about cultivating the mind and purifying it to develop wisdom to liberate our mind. Otherwise, all the herbivorous animals like the cows, the goats, and the horse would have been enlightened because they are vegetarian all the time, for they only eat grass, and the funny part is, what they eat finally becomes meat too. The other important point that one needs to understand is, for the true cultivators of the way, there will come a time for them to go vegetarian, and they will know when and why, for their cultivation has reached the mind level, and they are so sensitive and so clear with their understanding that they are ready to go vegetarian. This is good understanding. But what happens when you don't have this type of understanding? When your understanding and cultivation have not reached this level of refined compassion, then becoming vegetarians like the others has not much meaning, and it will not make you more compassionate and spiritual. It's like at the form level, you're trying to impress others outwardly that you are a vegetarian, but inwardly, your mind is still not ready, and so caused with all the cravings, selfishness, anger, hatred, jealousy, violence, to harm and kill, pettiness and fear, etc. All these you cannot see. So what is happening? This is attachment to form Dharma and not cultivating the mind Dharma at the mind level to develop the wisdom to understand beyond form Dharma. This is like some devotees who chant to renew their five precepts but still break them. Outwardly, they will say, I am a Buddhist, you know. I cannot lie and steal or commit sexual misconduct, etc. But then inwardly, are they really a Buddhist? As a true Buddhist and to be worthy of the Buddha, the minimum we should do is to be able to at least heed his advice to avoid all evil, cultivate goodness and wholesomeness, and purify our mind, right? Number one, to avoid all evils, we will have to keep our five precepts while developing our mindfulness and heedfulness to diligently cultivate the first two right efforts. A, to abandon the unwholesome thoughts or mental intentions that have arisen. And B, the other right effort is to prevent the unwholesome thoughts from arising. Number two, to cultivate goodness and wholesomeness, we need to cultivate the next two right efforts. To promote, A, to promote or arise the right thoughts, right speech, and right action that are still not in you. And B, the other right effort to refine upon whatever right and wholesome mental intentions, thoughts, action, and speech that you have developed. As these four right efforts are cultivated at mind level, hence they are still thought-based cultivation, evolving effort or the thought. A better way to cultivate goodness, wholesomeness, and blessings is to understand that the absence of evil is by itself already good. With this understanding, one only needs to cultivate the stability of daily mindfulness, leading to the heedfulness to constantly avoid all evil mental intention that condition one's negativity, then there will be no more need to use the right efforts anymore. Number three, to purify our minds, we need to go beyond thought, to cultivate only mindfulness or sati, the silent mind, to see things as they are, without the interference of thoughts, via its views, opinions, and conditioning. This is direct seeing, which is also called the third turning cultivation, leading to the realization of bhavana maya panya, wisdom born of bhavana, or the meditative discipline. At the mind level, you can still be deluded because you must understand that your mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief, and everything arises from the mind. So if one acts, speaks, and thinks with a wicked, unwholesome mind, then suffering will follow one like the wheel that follows the hoof. So even though the mind Dharma is more important than form Dharma, one can still get trapped at mind level if one continues to be deluded by the aggregates of mind. When we identify via form, then we will discriminate according to what we see or perceive, like male and female, old and young, beautiful and ugly, race, nationality, etc. Like I am a Malay, Chinese and Indian, leading to racial discrimination via identification with our external physical forms or appearances. When we are able to see beyond form, all these discriminations or divisions conditioned by form Dharma will cease. But then, mind Dharma can still arise to cause similar division and discrimination. At mind level, we still have our views, opinions, belief systems, traditions, and conditionings, etc., that can still divide and cause us to argue with one another. All these divisions and discrimination can only cease when we are able to see beyond form and beyond mind or thoughts leading to the direct seeing. With our true nature within, i.e. seeing things as they are, leading to the understanding of what is, suchness or tatata. The Buddha explained to us clearly how we perceive form via our mind, mental consciousness. This is the reason why the Buddha said, Mind is the forerunner of all things, and mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises, comes to be. So we can return all external forms to mind, then mind to our pure nature within to realize the truth of how creation via mental consciousness comes to be, leading to the understanding of their impermanence, non-self, and empty nature. When you awaken, your form and mind will cease, and your true nature within or your essence will be realized as the oneness, the unconditioned and the timeless, beyond thought, beyond mind. The whole world is about suchness. Truth cannot be monopolized by any religion or anyone because truth is not your truth or my truth, for they are our own opinions of truth. Truth is whatever that can explain the way things are. So what is the truth? Truth is Dharma or nature's laws that govern all life and existence. 1.2. According to Mahayana tradition, there are three levels of seeing mountains, and they are first level seeing mountains are just mountains. Worldly mountain seeing. Mundane seeing. Via the mundane mind leading to normal mundane seeing, which is the conventional truth. The second level seeing, mountains are not mountains. This is spiritual direct seeing. Via the silent mind leading to awakening, realizing that perception of form is consciousness, whereas its non-perception is wisdom, spiritual truth. The third level of seeing is mountains are mountains again. Mastery gone beyond transcendental or suchness seeing. Seeing things as they are after having the wisdom and can live life like a normal person again. Ultimate or supramundane truth.
So the third level of seeing is ultimate truth or supramundane truth, means the enlightened being that has the stability or understanding will have the ability to reach the third level of seeing. Then they will just accord and flow. They will never argue because they know truth is not your truth, not my truth. Okay, next one.
Part 2 meditation, 2.1. I used to have pain and now I don't have. Why? Question 1. I used to have pain when I meditate and now I don't have. Why? Brother Teo answered, you must investigate into it and find out for yourself. Very likely it is because you are more calm now and your anapanasati cultivation has improved and you are more relaxed and mindful now. This is a good sign of slight progress, but meditation is not just about cultivating calmness of mind and having peaceful experiences leading to the so-called good meditation and then jump for joy and cling on to it unknowingly. It is just like random thoughts that arise during meditation. Yogis dislike it and call it bad meditation and they become unhappy. So is this meditation? When your mind still reacts to good and bad meditation, meditation is about developing wisdom via awareness to be at peace with all life situations. Even when random thoughts arise, the yogi can still develop the wisdom out of it if the yogi knows how to develop the meditation via sati to understand how the random thoughts come to be via inquiring, why am I not peaceful? When we come to understand that we have been heedless for so long because we seldom train our mind to be in sati and we are seldom heedful, then we will understand that this mind is not peaceful because of the heedless way we have been living our life. This heedless way has conditioned our habitual tendency. This heedless living has conditioned our habitual tendencies of ceaseless thinking and reactions to sense experiences, giving rise to the five mental hindrances, hence our lack of peace. If we just silence our mind via wisdom and not feed it with any more thought energies, like trying to focus and concentrate or do something to push away the random thoughts, then what happens? Try it and find out for yourself. You will be very surprised that The random thoughts will just slow down on their own and then become silent and still. This is a form of awakening and wisdom will arise. Then the yogi will suddenly understand with a lot of joy that the natural state of mind before the stirring and reaction of mind is already silent and still. So the cultivation of sati or mindfulness during meditation is not about doing with the thoughts, but about understanding that the moment I am silent without thought, I am already in sati. That means you don't have to practice mindfulness or try to be mindful anymore, because the practice or trying is by the thought. With thought so actively doing things, how can you be aware? So just silence your mind, then sati is automatically there, because sati is awareness before the thought or the knowing. It is just pure awareness leading to the direct seeing. Sati is the silent, choiceless awareness of what is. The Deny Heart Sutra class and meditation class. Part 2, meditation. 2.1. The significance of the three turning of the four noble truths. Question 1. Brother Theo, the sutta said Buddha become enlightened through self-realization. Then why is it also mentioned in the first sermon that the Buddha himself has also had to go through the three turnings of the four noble truths to become enlightened? Brother Theo answered, the Buddha had already cultivated for 3¾ aeons to fulfill his 10 perfections cultivation prior to his full enlightenment in India 2600 plus years ago. So the Buddha was already a Bodhisattva then, and he had cultivated the three turnings of the four noble truths before. What happened was, when he became fully enlightened under the Bodhi tree, he inherited all his past perfections and cultivation. Hence, he knew the three turnings of the four noble truths are very important. In the first sermon, the Buddha's opening statement is to advise the five ascetics to avoid the two extremes of, number one, sensual indulgence, and two, self-mortification while following the middle path, which is the noble eightfold path, as proclaimed by him. The deeper meaning of the middle path is to transcend all dualities. In the early days, when I was cultivating the Buddha Dharma, I haven't really heard of these three turnings of the four noble truths. But I was indeed very lucky because I met Thailand monk Pra Ajahn Yantra Amaro Bhikkhu in 1988, and it was he who constantly, not less than six times, advised me to contemplate all the Dharma spoken by the Buddha until they become very, very clear. I didn't know that this was the second turning of the Four Noble Truths until much later. He also emphasized a lot on the importance of cultivating the daily mindfulness. Because of my very strong sadha or faith in Ajahn Yantra and the Triple Gem, I cultivated this Dharma contemplation or the second turning wisdom and the daily mindfulness a lot, and my understanding of the Buddha Dharma started to stabilize, and my progress along the path of Dharma became very smooth and fast. It was only in the year 2004 when I was invited by a sister in the Dharma to share the Dharma that arises the condition for me to really look at the first Saman Sutta. I remember it was at Session 17 Selangor Vipassana Society when she asked me what topic I wanted to start off with. I then saw a framed photo of the Buddha giving the first sermon to the five ascetics on the wall. So I said to him, since the Buddha started with that, I would also start with that first sermon sutta. I then asked her for a copy of the sutta, which she so kindly gave to me. It was a Thai chanting book, and the moment I read the three turnings of the four noble truths, straight away I could link my cultivation to it, and there was so much joy. I suddenly understood its meaning and how the three turnings corresponds to the three types of wisdom that the Buddha talked about in the sutta. I had developed my own cultivation following these three turnings without knowing that they were the three turnings of the four noble truths. 2.2. Our mind can only do one thing at a time, and yet simultaneously I could be aware of a lot of other things. Why? Question 2. According to Brother Theo, Our mind can only do one thing at a time. But in my meditation, how come I could be aware of my in and out breath, and simultaneously I could be aware of other I could be aware of a lot of other things, like my other thoughts, perceptions, and bodily sensation, etc. Why is it so? Brother Dio answered, this is a very good question. You see, when your anapanasati has stabilized, your awareness will enable you to do that because mindfulness of your in and out breath will help you anchor your awareness there. With that awareness, silent mind, the inner awareness of the breath, you can definitely be aware of your thoughts, perceptions, and bodily sensation or tactile consciousness, because every time when you are aware, you are not thinking. So this awareness of all your other mental activities like perception, tactile, and thought consciousness are actually all separate entities. But because your mind can move so fast, it is as if you can multitask them, as if.
It is as if.
As if.
It is as if you can multitask them.
Okay.
Go back a bit.
It is as if you can multitask them.
As if they are all happening simultaneously. Okay, continue.
When you are aware of the breath, there is no thought, i.e. mind and breath as one. But the moment you start to arise a perception of what you have perceived, your mental aggregate of sanya has arisen. So it is a separate entity. Then what do you do? Chances are you will deliberately react or grasp onto it via your views and opinion. Unless you have wisdom or universal manasikara at the moment of sense experience, your feeling will be conditioned into craving of likes and dislikes almost immediately. With wisdom, mindfulness, and heedfulness, you can be aware of thought and its content. You can be aware at the moment of perception, feeling, and consciousness, etc. But the moment you are lost in thought or preoccupied with what you perceive, then your mind is no longer aware and you have become heedless. The mind that is aware is always silent. Hence, the moment you are aware again, you don't perceive or think anymore. The mind with silent inner awareness is actually the oneness nature that can take in the entire phenomenal world outside. 2.3. During meditation, I was more aware and able to sense the cooking smell as if in front of my nose. Why? Question 3. During my meditation, I was more aware and I was able to sense the cooking smell from behind the kitchen as if it is just right in front of my nose. Why? Brother Theo answered, when your mind is truly silent and you are aware, then this is possible because the smell is just the smell consciousness. The smell can travel to your nose because you are more sensitive than when the mind is silent and not preoccupied with any thinking or distracted by any worry or anxiety. If it is a vibration like a very distant sound, you can also be aware of it. And the vibration hearing consciousness is very clear and sort of magnified. The silent mind in awareness pervades and the entire oneness. Meditation is not about inquiry, how come the mind is like that. Meditation is about developing the wisdom to understand clearly the universal laws that govern life and existence, and to understand how you function as a human being and what this so-called human being is all about. It is also to understand how the mind works and functions, thereby understanding clearly the 12 links or law of dependent origination as taught by the Buddha. The Dharma or truth is everywhere, but why can't you see? If only your mind is silent, you will be aware, then you can see. It is as if all of a sudden you can awaken to it, hearing the joy, contemplating.
Hearing the truth.
Oh, sorry. Hearing the truth, contemplating and reflecting upon it can bring about a lot of joy.
Oh. So just now you went too fast. Huh? Okay, it's okay, Ivan. Yeah. Okay. You try too fast. Yeah, well, your reading is you want to go like the train, high speed. Don't worry, slow down a bit. Don't have to rush. Because when you slow down a bit, it's good for others too. Because they can absorb faster. Because if you read at this speed, it's only cultivator of the way can follow you. The rest find it difficult. Sure lah. even Suhi also cannot. Because you have to be attentive, understand? Otherwise you like liabu kiwa, catch no more. Okay, continue.
Wisdom is not a rigid knowledge. It must be awakened too. Thought is created via a focusing of the perceived with its content of consciousness that was introduced into it. Initially, it is just spacious, pure awareness and silence. Learn to see how thought arrives. When the mundane mind collapses, the pure awareness, nature or supramundane mind will shine forth and it will be a lot clearer.
Yeah, that one is very true.
40th Heart Sutra class and meditation class. Part 1. Recapitulation and emphasis on the previous lesson. 1.1. Let things be, then investigate. When random thoughts arise, do not react, suppress or try to control them. Just let things be and flow with them. Then investigate and find out what happens when you do that. You will come to understand that they are just thoughts which come and go according to your mental conditioning. You will also come to understand that when your five mental hindrances are around, you are not peaceful. And when the five spiritual faculties are there, they will counter the five mental hindrances and you are then naturally peaceful. No matter what happens, do not try to control or suppress thoughts. Only through understanding, you free your mind, not through the doing via the thought which is egoic. You must investigate why you are like that and why you are not peaceful. The essential Dharma as taught by the Buddha will enable us to see the dangers of the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. The importance of heedfulness and the importance of following the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evils while keeping the precepts. Do good and purify the mind while cultivating the Noble Eightfold Path until one is awakened. Similarly, one will also see the importance of cultivating Dana, Sila, and Bhavana based on the right view with regards to the three important spiritual laws, Kama Niyama, Citta Niyama, and Dhamma Niyama, that govern all of our life and existence, so as to understand and see the full picture of the Dhamma cultivation clearly. Part 2, Heart Sutra Lesson 40. The 12 Conditioned Causes, page 84 to 88. 2.1. The 10 Dharma Rhymes. A Buddhist cosmology.
Yeah, the Mandarin word is 十八戒. Ten Dharma Rhymes.
The Buddhist cosmology consists of 10 Dharma Rhymes. First 4 rhymes are the rhymes of the saints or enlightened ones. And they are, 1, the rhyme of the Buddha.
诸佛法界.
2, the rhyme of Bodhisattva.
菩萨法界.
3, the rhyme of the conditioned enlightened ones.
缘觉法界.
4, the rhyme of the sound hearers.
声闻法界.
The other 6 rhymes are the rhymes of the living beings subjected to birth and death, and they are equivalent to the 31 planes of existence within the Theravada tradition. They are, 1, the rhyme of the heavenly beings,
天人法界.
The rhyme of the human beings, 人道法界.
人道法界.
3, the rhyme of the demons,
阿修罗法界.
阿修罗法界. 4, the realm of the animals,
畜生法界.
畜生法界. 5, the realm of the hungry ghosts,
恶鬼法界.
恶鬼法界. Number six, the realm of health.
地狱法界.
地狱法界. Some of the great Bodhisattvas like Guan Yin, Guan Si Yin,
菩萨.
菩萨, 文殊菩萨,
yeah.
普贤菩萨, and Astor Dijangwang Bodhisattvas, Dijangwang Bodhisattvas have already fulfilled their 10 perfections to become Sama Sambuddha, but due to their great compassion and love for the living beings, they have used their great vows to continue to come and save living beings. Just like Astor Bodhisattva, one of his vows is that if hell is not empty of living beings, he will not become a Sama Sambuddha.
Yeah, that one is very beautiful. Yeah. Okay, not bad. So we stop here, 200 already. So at least we cover ahead of schedule already. I seldom go so fast. Normally I have to towards the end rush. Then I catch up. But now luckily got money bullet train. Not LRT, high speed train. 300 over kilometer an hour. Yeah. So lucky, yeah. But it's okay. Well, most of you are, I think, quite familiar because we have gone through before. So this one is like a revision. So that's why I don't mind, yeah. But I only stop her at certain places where I need to explain, because my nature knows it. I explain that now the consciousness is different. You all can understand. So that's why I go in deeper. Then I cover more towards the aspect of cultivation where earlier on there is no condition for you all to understand. Even the eight consciousness. Yeah? Today I cover slightly different, I went in a bit deeper. So all this is very useful. Give the mic to Surya.
Just now, too fast, he managed to share. there were three things that I wanted to share about, because this was very helpful. Throughout the years, I contemplated on three of them. One was the why this thought? Why this
thought? Ah, very good.
Not any other thought.
That one very good. That one will let you understand how that memory and the brain work, function.
And then another one was the fifth daily contemplation. About karma. Then the direct thing, I was trying very hard to understand direct thing, too much effort actually. So I remember what caught my attention was seeing without labeling. So I put the points here before I forget.
Yeah.
Then I go to the sharing. So how the first one helped me, because throughout the text, so I think it, at least two or three times this came out, even the unique quotes, this was in there. Whenever off and on, it's not all the time. When I'm meditating, sometimes also it just occurred.
Yeah.
How come now I'm thinking of this? Trying to meditate. Why think of this? So then I realized sometimes it's my trauma. Because there was one time in class, this was very young, I was in secondary school still. I was on the debate and I totally forgot my script.
Oh.
And then I was staring blank. I debate halfway and then I lost my part, I sat back down. And that embarrassment, right, actually carried me until I was 30 years old. I didn't know. But off and on, it wasn't in dreams. It was just sometimes I suddenly feel down, then this came up. But I never questioned it because I thought everybody got trauma. Ma. Then,
very good.
I haven't finished yet.
Yeah.
What this question helped me do is that, like, at moments like that, I actually realized this helped me understand who I am. I really do self-discovery here, self-search. Mm. It's like, hey, I'm letting this haunt me.
Yeah.
It's nobody else doing. Mm. I'm letting it do it to me. Then that means there must be something that is holding on to this. Then I tick, tick, tick. It's the embarrassment. I felt that I was very badly embarrassed.
Yeah,
only when I asked this question, I said, why this thought? Which part of this whole experience really impact me? Well, then I really think it's, or the really the pie you say. Then I was like, hey, I need to get over this. Then it really made me look at who I am, what I have become, who I made myself to be, who I, what habits I want to keep, what habits I don't want to keep. So this was really helpful throughout. That was only one example. Many, many times throughout the whole 3 years or so when I was attending this 2017, 2018, 2019, 3 years I attended. So it was repeated every time. And throughout those years, off and on, this really helped me.
Mm.
And I really see who I let my memory become. This bucket of memory, what I have been storing, or at least the memories my brain go and prioritize and bring up to me every now and then were all these. I realize why, and then I re-slot nicely what I want to remember, what I don't want to remember so often.
Then just to add a bit, so that can improve the understanding. You see, like she said, she finally traced back is the Pisces embarrassment that trigger off that phobia, that trauma that accumulated in her brain. But she was lucky. It was just at the subconscious surface level. Understand? You have gone into the unconscious nightmare. Everything will come up. Then the other thing is, you see, Pisces, who is Pisces? It's the thought where you are egoic, you identify yourself, you know, the Thai student. Okay? So, then, so he is embarrassed where the thought say, hey, how can you forget the script? It's a debate. Oh.
The paise wasn't so simple. I was holding a grudge because when I was reciting my script, because I memorized all my points. Throughout my turn, I started to speak. I was looking at the audience. Then the last row, there was one, like two guys sitting down there making fun, laughing at jokes. Then at one time, they laughed. That was like, because I noticed their laughter, I don't know where I thought until really. Then I was internally, I was blaming that person for my mistake. I held that grudge, never told him anyone.
So you know what happened or not? Like I say, when you are lost in thought, preoccupied with that two guy, the awareness no more, then you come back, you cannot remember. And then panic. When you panic, the script, the memory all gone. That's why memory cannot help you. Memory is not wisdom. Wisdom is different. No need to remember. That's why I just ask you, why did I come here? How did I end up here? The moment you tell me, I can continue already. Understand not? So I don't have to remember. But for her, it's good experience. But the other thing that I can advise her is, last time she did the mind map, help a lot. Then she discussed with me, I adjusted a bit. Now, if she go back and read the mind map, she will understand it more, and she know how to refine upon it, on his own understanding, her own understanding. The Dhamma is like that one. At that time, she was doing the mind map so big, she IT. She wanted to help people, which is very good. Then too many, and the time I know, the understanding not that deep yet. So a lot of things I see, okay. Simplify that, adjust a bit. Unless got like out by a bit, then I adjust. So enough for her at that level and for most people. But now she look at it, it becomes clear already. Then she will appreciate the Dhamma more, the one I adjusted, edited. Then later on, she can on her own act in things to her understanding. Very good. Continue. Next one.
Okay. The next sharing about the fifth daily contemplation about karma, the ones that say that we are born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by karma. We actually are what we are because of our karma. So, if it's
everywhere, then I should be able to see it, right? Then I was thinking, where's the karma in this? Where's the karma in this? Yes. So I was at one point, because they say investigate, ma. They say this, don't believe, ma. Go and find out. Then I developed my own understanding. Well, I find this helped me. In the end, because of I was feeling gratitude a lot throughout the cultivation, then I think about it. Everything we are especially we are conditioned and supported by karma. Things supporting me now, apart of from relationships with all the good people, also all these inanimate objects, all these came to be. They don't pop up in the middle of the air. They were created by people, delivered, manufactured, idea came from people, and then exchanging hands, someone near me bought it, and then it's here. So this whiteboard, even though they manufactured millions of it, this particular one had affinity with Sampo Temple and had affinity with us. I somehow believe things, you know, things have linking. I don't know, the Chinese have that kind of like, they have their own, it's not identity or soul, but they're all unique. Everything is unique. They are also made from atoms and everything, right? So they're all part of nature, all came from nature. And they had karmic affinity with me, then only it'll be here. The conditions are not here, this won't be here. The thing I bought, the bag, the tumbler, the mat, everybody I meet, even a casual hi, if someone came to the temple today and they just came bye-bye and left, if I manage to see them, say hi to them, that is affinity there. That is karma at work already. So when I came to this understanding, I start to see everything afresh, everything anew. I don't take for granted. I saw life in a deeper way. Everything became so beautiful. It's no longer very simple. Everything took a long journey to get to me. If I can have an encounter, an engagement with anything or and whatever I read on the internet, even if it's COVID, WhatsApp, the one I receive will be different from the one you receive. Whatever had affinity will come my way. Whatever had affinity with you will go your way. So it's like every program we cannot plan, or we can try to plan, but karma has already have everything moving in different directions. When you start walking, then you see which one you meet. Everybody have their own karmic trajectory already. You just start, everybody start walking. So I found this one of the things that really changed my perspective of life. When I talk to people, I became more genuinely interested in who they are, what they are. I don't assume they are the same as they were yesterday. In 24 hours, they could have experienced something, anything. I wouldn't know. Yeah. So that is why karma happens every minute, every second, every moment.
Yeah, very good, Sadhu. Because this is what dependent originating is all about. If you are not a cultivator, you don't have the understanding. Like the Buddha said, 99.999%, all living beings almost, they are born of their karma, and to their karma condition, supported by karma. And they are what they are because of karma. The 0.0000 something, who are they? The enlightened beings. Not subject to karma from that time on, but their random balance of karma. And the Chitena, second top moment until sixth top moment, that one exists for eternity until you realize Arahantship and beyond. Then only that one, like they call the pot, they carry all this karmic thing on, that suddenly broken. You know why? Broken, no more rebirth. The Arahant, no more rebirth. So he cannot catch them. Law of karma very funny, you know. When that lie you become Arahant, they also want to make you pay, you know. That's why during the Buddha time, remember the two Arahant gone to death by the cow? Oh. Then Angulimala? Oh. He's supposed to go down to hell, but he got punished and met the Buddha and take refuge, renounce, and cultivate, and become Arahant. And because of that, he kena stone that life. So karma, means you don't take it lightly. It's so powerful, so potent. That's why you will never, never allow yourself to allow your heedlessness to arise, to neglect taking care of your karma. You will never. You can never allow it to happen. It's not worthwhile to break the precept, to create the negativity of karma. You have to pay one somehow. In what way? It depends. Like just ask Sui, he I think explained to Yun Chan downstairs in the kitchen. He said, You have to pay, but you can pay in other ways. So that's why she got gratitude, appreciate. So the hand, she got the accident. So to pay back this way is not that serious, understand or not? Rather than wait for something very terrible to happen, understand or not? So a lot of things when you understand, you have gratitude. Then you ask, like, these are nature's law. Like the Buddha said, not only me subject to it, every form of mind that comes is subject to it. But whether you have to confront it and become miserable or afflicted over it, depend on your understanding. But when you have already had the Dhamma, you have the understanding, the subject, that I can sense of. That something is not right, my nature knows. Like those second thought moment to the sixth thought moment on that I have to pay back one. I don't want, I cannot run one. So what happened is like this time, I got a lot of this very minor one that I pay back when I was young. Of course, after I went to school, 7 years old until form three or one. So I always, that time, walk barefooted, seldom got shoe one. Most of the time it's slipper and all this. Then the slipper, you know, in the kampong, there's a lot of these zinc sheet construction debris and all there with the nail still there or no. So a step on it, that type of Japanese slipper, sure goes through. So I cannot break my nails. Some rusty or no. But luckily my father is a Yorkshire born, Chinese speaker. He got this sa kyong. You powder mix with the rice, make it sticky, and then you put a no need to see doctor. There's a doctor Tan Bo Jia. Most people say, hey, tightness or poor sang fong, must go and get injection gel. And then, there's sometimes cut by the zinc sheet, and then broken glasses. It's minor one. Then the only one, slightly major one, was the, you remember the coconut leaf? Green one that came down. That one really come out. That one when I saw it, I tell myself, but no pain, no funny. No. But blood oozed out. No. A lot of blood came out. No. Maybe friend or penny. No. The blood like chichon tao. Like come out on the tap. No. But I don't know. So the two of them are carrying me, no, bring me back to my father's shop there. Oh, my father will go. He get the ang yo chui and the cotton and all that. So he put everything. Then he put me the rest. And then I just rest on the fan po chong. Then not much pain. Then the next day I feel better. Then I recall, three of us were sitting on a bench at the back of the Revenant God. I was in the middle. Then next to us was a shade, Where that shade was, I think, somebody built it to store things. So about 2 feet away in the bench. Then that day was sunny. Of course, there was some wind because of the open area. Suddenly, for no reason, that green leaf, not dry leaf, you know that time I saw small size, I think I 9 years old, 10 years old, I forgot it. At the moment I was 30 old pound, That thing came down. Hit me, I flew off almost 15 to 20 feet away. I also don't know what happened. Then my two friends panicked, then they saw where I was. Flat after that, the blood oozing out. Even the shirt that I wear, my mother made for me, tear. Understand? Oh, but that spot only, And luckily, my hand, no problem. problem. And I know that one cannot be one. Where got so sweet one in the middle of Kenayu? At least the two side one higher probability in which direction, but from the back. And that one come, I can remember. I hit like that. Then later on, when I grew up, I start to develop a lot under that. A lot of things he let me see. I stole my mother's $2 ang pao. I lost like shit. The Chinese New Year. Every Chinese New Year, I make money. I very good at gambling at that time. Play card, play mahjong, play poker. Because our kampong is like that one. So every year, without fail, from 2 ringgit, I can make $100 over the winning. I'm very lucky, my mind very strong. I like concentrate on the card. Become like buy ukuya. I ulut, really come on. But that year, I steal my mother 2 ringgit. Where my father gave him 12 ringgit ang pao. He said, you pass to mom. He trust me. And yet, I saw 12. And he thought, take 2, mom don't know. So put back the 10. So give, take. How you? That night, I went for the Sajap the 3 cards. You know what happened? Sui until like that. Then the 2.24 ringgit are down until level 30 cents. No? Yeah, the 72 or 10 cents. So I got 3 more bets on it. So I don't care. No? I use my willpower. I say, I want to have 10 points. You really don't believe that. Hold your hair. No? And I really got 10 points. No? No? I thought my full money. Before I can take, somebody say, Huang, Sati uncle, triple picture, gone. Then the second one, I say, I vow minimum 3x3 or 3x10 above the Sati uncle. And you know what happened? Game, no, 3x10. That joker got 3x3. Got such thing, man. Oh, then after that, I know already. Forget about it. The last one, I say, unless triple A's, nobody can beat me. Okay, and you know what? Two A's come, no. And the third one, bo pi one, no. So either a A's or a 2 or a 3, but the karma is up to there. Cannot ready. Yeah, I stole my mother's 2 ringgit. That's why I cannot break this. I break, I cannot count, count, I show it to me there and there. Then I look, I thought A's, suddenly the 3 come out. Down there got something, either a 2 or a 3, it turned out to be. So I said, hey, yin yang. That's how I came to know. All these comics, when I was young, they show it to me. Like Sui said, the causes and conditions are already there. Everything's set already. So you cannot run. But I realize with wisdom, I can avoid a lot of things. Understand? So sometimes, like I told you that time, my new car, within the month, 3 of my 4 tires punctured. There was such thing, a new car. No? 1 also quite rare. Then 2 also lucky rare. 3, means I had to pay that money. Then I know already. You know what I did? I asked for forgiveness. That time I know how to do or not. I know. Then I tell myself, I must make offering. You know, I came out and work already. I have the Dhamma understanding. Then I make offering, donation. That time, I didn't really go to many places. So I see newspaper that need money, I donate. Then good condition. I donate. Then I read it, meta, I read it. So I did this. Then after that, everything go back to normal. Because the sign of karma, and karma, where you have the condition to kena, become like bundle one, not one by one, no, a lot one. No. So my mind become very sensitive. That's why later on I learned that I understand. And I knew why. When you go song, you create negativity of karma, means through the evil root. Then the karma got conditioned to come and manifest because of your mind state. Then I change. I don't want to develop that one. There later on, my mindfulness all there, you know. That's why I overcome it. Then after that, no more. No. Until now, no more. Everything very straight, you know, like almost cannot avoid one. Like, you know, it's kena already, accident. But very strange, you know. The mindfulness allow me to avoid everything. There was one incident in Thailand, I remember, at this near Anandagiri there, Kau Kok. There is an organic farm owner, I think, Kun, what is the name? I forgot already. He donated the land for Achalo. I forgot Kun, what already. Anyway, it's like that. We were invited by Cindy and Moses, that trip, you remember? We went, then he recommended we stay there. He's a very kind person. So we actually, the chalet, everything, we stay there. Then he got a kutti down there on the slope one more within the area. So that night, Moses introduced him to us. So they all down there already. Then I came late, so I saw the light there. They all one group, Kayamita sitting. So I came down. Where is a slope? And you know what happened? I stepped on a stone. Then the stone give way. Give way. Then I know I'm going to fall already. But because of my mindfulness awareness, I can choose where I want to fall. Then I remember through my mindfulness awareness, I saw that boulder, a very big one. So because of that, when I sleep, I lost balance. And so I have to fall. So I have to choose where to fall. So I choose to fall away from the boulder. Then I landed like, one of the trip also, you remember? The spiritual trip to one of the China one. I came down the bus, my leg no strength, then I fall down, you all panic. But I know how to roll myself, understand? I was aware, but the leg no strength, no, give way. Yeah? Walk too much or tired or what else, I don't know at that time. So this also same, I was very mindful, then I avoided it. Then everybody panic, but to you okay? No? I say, it's okay. So with mindfulness and awareness, you can avoid. Otherwise, canary. Then sometimes that, or one, actually, the way he drive is supposed to turn out. But somehow, the awareness knew it move out. So that's why I came to know no negativity, then with mindfulness, awareness, with the understanding, you make aspiration, you can actually avoid a lot of things. That's why I told my son, no matter what happens, don't get angry. Don't become very unhappy and negative. So he knows, he has planned. That's why he see the result also. So all this, if you have the Dhamma cultivation, understanding, it can help you. So like Sui say on that time of coming, normal people cannot run. Oh, 9:15 idea. Okay. Sui continue, finish after that we finish.
Okay, last one. The first time I attended retreat, the hearing what direct feeling is was very puzzling. So when I went back to Singapore and was doing my daily life, I remember very vividly there was one time I was waiting for the MRT train in the MRT station. Then I was looking at the waiting chairs, there are a lot of benches. I was like, bench, how to look at bench without calling it a bench? So these are the investigations I ask myself. Because you say you're supposed to investigate. So at that time, nothing came out of it, but I pondered. I was like, okay. But no matter how I look at it, it was still a bench. So after that, okay. So, but there were many moments like this. And then eventually, I started to see the things, the inanimate objects start to tell me their story. It's like, hey, oh, so that's direct seeing. They can't talk, but when I really take an interest, like how I say, I start to take a genuine interest in the people around me, even the things, then I start to see, hey, they didn't pop out of thin air. How did they come here? Well, what is this thing in front of me? Then I was like, okay, like, so for example, like that bench, we call it a bench, but when you do the bullock cart analogy, you remove the legs, remove it, then it becomes 4 sticks and 1 plank. Then if you go further down, you disintegrate everything already, then there's no more bench. But then when I look at it, how did the bench get assembled? Oh, a lot of people had to put a lot of work, and then to go and get supplier. You know, the whole thing being created is not just bench, all the bench the same. They come out at every MRT station got same bench. No, it's no longer like that for me. So I start to look at it. Okay, like, for conversation, I have to refer it to it as bench. You want to sit on the bench? Then I can accept when people somehow got problem with this bench, one another bench, and then or they like when things are not that nice, bench very hard to go wrong. But for example, the cups. So sometimes like if you go downstairs, take the mug, some mugs are chipped, some mugs are discolored, but they might have the same design, but then people will choose to have a nicer one. Because in our mind, all are the same. So if it's not so nice, it's defective. I want a normal one. There's a concept of normal and not normal. I no longer see it like that. Every cup was different, made of different materials. If it was made of ceramic, then the sand they use was all different, taken from different corners of the earth to create that kind of different cup. And by virtue of the sand, coloring will be different, sturdy, how sturdy they are depending on the material they mix. They will all be minor differences. Then I start to see them as unique people, not just cups anymore. Then I say, oh, I got affinity with you. I choose you. You know? Yeah. So this journey of seeing without labeling was very interesting in that way for me. But I think everybody goes through a different journey. That's my thing.
Okay, yes, Adina, that one is unique to her, but that one uses a lot of rational analysis and what they call reasoning. So we try to develop that. But the direct seeing is different because when you are aware, stabilized at time, then anytime it can happen, like my wife, suddenly walking to the market or whatever, then he suddenly saw. Then she knew, like robot, mechanical, and so on. It's not a person. Then he saw herself also. Yeah? That this one is like functioning by itself because of condition, views, opinion. So it's like there is nobody inside there. Then later on, your awareness become more stable at times. Then when you're sitting, different already. You don't label you automatic one. Like when I see something, I see one. That's why it's very pristine. Everything is like, because from the awareness, like what Alicia go through, that awareness nature have that, you know, oneness awareness. So it's not fixed, not focused per se. That clear thought. This one is aware. When you are aware, that is the direct seeing. All the activity and the movement without word one. That's why it's amazing. So when I see anything like this one, I used to tell you, if you are so conditioned, microscope, you don't see already. Microphone, you don't see. You think you know. Microphone, ma. You may come whole time. But you really have the attentiveness and the mindfulness to see, you observe. Then you are more attentive. You have mindfulness. You are more sensitive. You see these things as they are. No words. Then when somebody asks you, what is this microphone like? You can recollect one now. Oh.
You can make it.
But when you see, you just see as it is. The example, you look at that black rectangular board there. Those who don't know Mandarin, very easy. Direct see. You don't understand. Then you see all those so-called Mandarin words, the way it is long. No word come out, everything out. Unless you can recognize that. I also cannot recognize all the four. Then the small one cannot see better still. That's not. This, like the baby, they see as they are, understand? So that is a very close analogy. But the real one, the direct seeing, is even when you have the conditioning, you know how to read Mandarin, but you see things as they are. You want to know? You can know. You remember? I told you. Because you're aware, like special phenomenal awareness. That if I decide to know, I can know. I decide to feel, I can feel. All this is possible. Understand? But the direct seeing is where your nature stabilizes, the awareness shine forth. Then what you see is that nature's observation is a general awareness. Understand? But when you go to specific phenomenal awareness, like this, what? Not microscope, microphone. I have this tendency to mix up the word. Understand? Yes? This word, they are not like something that is very familiar with. I once a while use it, so I tend to make mistakes. Then sometimes I pronounce it wrongly. So we every time correct me. So, I mean, this is what I must admit. I don't go into all this. I don't have that, like, I want to be perfect in everything. No. For me, enough for me to understand and communicate, that is it. Otherwise, I don't want to learn. Why should I waste time learning all these things? Basic understanding of the language and all things, that are you. But when I make the mistake, tell me, like my spelling mistake. Because now, that thing, like after so long, you didn't use the English word and write on the whiteboard. 3 years already, actually. Then I seldom write. You see, now my writing also no good already. Last time my writing improved until every year. Better. Then now, I realize, go back to like last time, like Tao Gaiji already. So whatever it is, the cultivation is not that, understand now. When you have the awareness, then you can have that type of seeing. Then when you have that type of seeing, very funny. How come you see like that? Because there is the awareness seeing, it's not from here. From here, you keep on creating words, concept, idea. Well, memory, you have been taught, you have been trained. Then you don't see it. That because of that, you don't pay attention. You think you know, you think you see it. Like Yun Chan said, he put on the nawala, Raymond didn't see you. Then he sure laughing. Because Yun Chan spouse so many years, yang mei hou tai. So all this is what the normal human beings, mundane minds, perception. The perception always go to memory first. Perception, memory. So what you all need to develop is train your awareness to be stable. That's it. No need to try using the thought to analyze, to find way to do the direct seeing. That is using thought, approach it for knowledge. So it will not bring about that one. It may happen, but take long time. Until unknowingly, when your awareness stabilizes, then suddenly you see. Then sometimes, if you are not careful, you may think, yeah, I started with like that. Then suddenly the awareness may just stabilize you. Then, then you see. Then you will tell people, hey, you do like that. Then one day you see. It's just like that guy. He said the teacher teach him slaughter animal or make offering, then reborn Saka. Actually, he still do another one. He got psychic, but he saw that coming was not the few life before one. The few life before one, he actually go to hell. Sakyamuni, he told him, he will tell your teacher. That was the distant past when he got jhana, everything. He helped the monk. So that wholesomeness gave rise to causes and conditions for him to take birth in the place he wants to take birth. It's very wholesome. So that's why, because of that. Just now we went through one section in here. Wealth, long life, heavenly, all from what? Ah, heedfulness cultivation and become enlightened. He's one jhana, but he aspired, he also became sakha. So you sometimes can see past life or psychic say, but you are not a samasambuddha. No? May not be the correct one. No, you go and take this one and say that one is me. That is how I become what I am. Then you go, yeah. Understand? No? So always remember, analysis, reasoning is thought based, knowledge based. Try to find an answer, a solution. But that is not direct seeing. The direct seeing is just the awareness without the thought. Okay? Sadhu.
So before we recite Mahamangalasutra, let's recite Vandana Tri Kasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Mahamangala Sutta. Ewang me sutang ekang samayang bhagava savatiyang viharati cetavane anatta pindikasa arame atako anyatara devata abhikantaya rattiya abhikanta vanna kevala kap Pang jeta wa nang oba se toa. Yena bhagava ten upasan kami upasan kami toa bhagavan tang abiwa de toa. Egaman tang atasi. Egaman tang titako sa devata bhagavan tang kataya ajabasi. Bahu deva manusaca mangalani acintayum akan kamana sotta nang bruhi mangala muttamang asevana ca bala nang pandita nanca sevana puja ca pujaniya nang etang mangala muttamang Pati rupa desa vaso ca pube ca katta punyata Ata sama pani di ca etang mangala muttamang Bahu sa canca si panca vinayo ca susikito Supasita ca yava ca etang mangala muttamang Mata pitu upatta nang buta darasa sanggaho Anakula cekammanta etang manggala muttamang Dananca dhammacariya ce natananca sanggaho Anawajani kammani etang manggala muttamang Arati virati papa maja pana ca sanyamo apamado ca dhammesu etang mangala muttamang garavo ca nivato ca santuti ca kantanyuta kalena dhamma savanang etang mangala muttamang Kanti ca sova chasata samana nancha dasanang Kalena dhamma saka ca etang mangala muttamang Tapo ca brahmacharyan ca ariya sachana dasanam Nibbana sachi kiriya ca etang mangala muttamang Putasa loka dhamme hi chitang yasana na kampati Asokang virajang ke mang etang mangala muttamang एतादिसानि कात्वा न सापतमपराजिता सपातसोऽपिङ्गच्छन्ति तं ते सन्मङ्गलमुत्तमङ्क्ति एतेन सा च वाचेन होतु ते जय मङ्गलम् एतेन सा च वाचेन सापरोगो विनाशतु एतेन सा च वाचेन सापरोगो विनाशतु साधु साधु साधु
Very good. Thank you so much. Yeah? Okay. Yeah.
Om Mani Padme
Hum.
Om Mani Padme Om Mani Padme Hum. 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 Om Mani Padme Hum.
Okay, the end. We do the sharing of merits. Let us rejoin with the good sharing and wholesomeness today. Yeah? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Now we shall share this marriage with all beings, starting with the demons. Akasata Chabumata Devanaga Mahidika Punyantang Anumoditwa Chiram Rakkantu Loka Sasana Etawata Chamwevi Sampadang Punya Sampadang Sabbe deva anodanti sabba sampati siddhiya idam enya dina hotu sukhita hontu nyakayo idam enya dina hotu sukhita hontu nyakayo idam enya dina hotu Sukhita hon kunya kayo Deo asato kaena Sasa sampati eto cha Vito bhavatu loko cha Raja bhavatu dhammiko Imina punya kaena Ami vala samagamo Satam samagamo hotu yavan nivana patiya sadhu. Okay, you all can pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha and we end the whole session. But be careful, a lot of flies. I don't know why today, there is quite a lot here now. I want to listen to them. Here also. I know, but last night never come here. Today I'm coming here. But normally they are the light up there, you know. But here on the fly differently. Yeah. You know the one we have at home on they on the light there on they go around the light. Yeah.
Dear brothers and sisters in the Dhamma,
yeah.
Shall we bow three times to Bhaktio for sharing the profound Dhamma with us?
Yeah.
Bow. 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 Sadhu to Sister Man Yuan,
yeah, for reading.
Brother Jin Hao and Sister Sui for helping out.
Sa.
Sa. Sa.